Welcome back to Virtual Africa and Creative Disturbance. Here is Imantina in Vancouver, and I have the pleasure to be with Greg Strick. Hi, Greg.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Do you mind introducing yourself, please, in a few words?
Yeah, my name is Greg Strick. I'm a practicing visual artist from Durban, South Africa, where I also teach full-time at the Durban University of Technology.
Okay, so thank you very much. I'm very grateful to Marcus Neustetter, who put us in touch together. So in this podcast, we're going to talk about several stuff, but I would like to start with your own art practice. So you just told me that you're a multimedia artist, and you're coming from a making side.
Background,
your background is in making. So can you tell us more about what you do? And
As I was saying to you, my preoccupations and the methods within which I explore them are various, and I don't have a particular way of making. I'm not a portrait painter or a landscape artist or whatever. I've worked in film and video. I've made a full feature documentary film. I make things in terms, and I'm interested in the relationships between materiality and how I can manipulate those materials to say other things.
Yes. Do your artwork has something to do with social issue? What drives you, basically?
Yeah, I would say, I'm probably a closet activist in the sense that I don't outwardly say I'm an activist, but I think that my work has always dealt with realities around social issues, social conditions, the relationship between politics and place. And I think to a large extent, living in South Africa, I would imagine that it's pretty unavoidable, given our context. It's very difficult to be neutral in all of those sort of socio-economic realms. So, my work does deal with a lot of those issues. I think over time, the work has probably become more abstract in its relationships, where maybe previously it was much more direct, it was much more overtly political.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now I deal more with the sort of repercussions and the consequence of living in that environment. And I deal more with the sort of sub-themes related to it. So it, on the surface, people wouldn't probably see it as political or social, but I think that the deeper you delve into it, you probably would start to register that it is very much about that.
How do you make use, or how do you basically see technology? What is the position and the relevance of technology in your practice?
Yeah, if I go back to what I said earlier, I think that technology is not always evident in my work, but sometimes it is.
Yeah.
And so I sort of move between things. I may, for example, model something in a very traditional way, but before I start, I have it 3D routed before I begin to actually model, just to save time. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, there's technology embedded within it, although it's not evident. And in other times, I work directly with technology, where I actually take machines, take them apart, and use aspects of those machines within a work that talks about something else. I'll give you an example. I made a work which took out this sort of stepper motor out of a hard drive tower, and it had three overlapping sensors with a laser pointer attached to it. And this work was mounted on a wall on the entrance of a space. So when people walked in, it activated the laser, and the laser would be, the little red dot would be on their back, and as they moved around, it would follow them. And at a certain point, if they turned around, they would notice this dot and became very disarming.
Yep.
Yet, if they tried to move away, it just kept following them. Unless someone else walked across, it would pick up that person and trace them. So there's some sort of way, it's very simple. It's the notion of being like Big Brother, being basically observed and followed all the time. It has reference to some sort of like violent connotation, almost like a sniper sort of signaling, finding you, locating you in order to target you and take you out. So here's an example of how I just embraced some notions of technology. But the next work then would be totally different.
Yep. So thank you very much. So you're also a professor, you're teaching new media? Or?
Yeah, so it's interesting when you say professor, because in the States, if you lecture, you're called a professor, whereas in our system in South Africa, I think it's based very much on a sort of a British model. So a professor is something that you actually get bestowed on you. You're a lecturer, a senior lecturer. Mm-hmm. If you do your PhD, you become a doctor. Oh. Doctor and then professor, something that you can't even apply for. So yeah, I lecture. I lecture in 3D studies. So I lecture in sculpture.
Yep.
That's essentially what I do, and then I'm also a supervisor
for
honors and graduate honors and master students. And I think in 3 years' time we'll have a PhD program as well.
Okay, I'm asking that because I wanted to. Maybe you can give us more insight about creativity and among the South African.
I think what's interesting for me is that because we don't have.
How do you see the artists for the next generation, for the next 20 years?
Yeah, it's a difficult one actually. I think we know in terms of funding resources, we're very limited.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of what we have access to. There's also a limitation there, and so a lot of what we have is still what would be perceived as very traditional means of producing, and what I find interesting is that our students started to find very interesting ways of talking to the idea of contemporary art and technology without actually having access to it. So what I mean by that is that they use very.
They're coming from different backgrounds.
They come from very disadvantaged backgrounds.
Yes.
A majority of the students in Durban at the art school that I teach, I would say 85 to 90%, come from very disadvantaged backgrounds.
So no access to internet or.
They have internet access to internet at the university.
Yes.
But away from the university, maybe 20 or 30% might have some access, but probably on a mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they make. That, you know, while they're at the university, they tap into the system and they utilize it there.
Yeah.
But often in the artwork, it'd be more about relationships between things that they find and the sort of the collision between things that they might find off the street, and then sort of relating that to something that you might purchase in a high tech shop. So it's much more the interface between high tech and low tech rather than being exclusively high tech.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. So actually, we're here in Vancouver. I guess that there's an opportunity for you in Durban to host ICR in 2018, maybe. So can you tell us more and what are the reasons why actually ICR should move in Africa?
Yeah. So, but yeah, correct. I'm in Vancouver as part of a three-team bid or pitch committee mm-hmm. to try and get ICR 2018 to Durban, South Africa, and we. Up against two other cities, both European based, and I think that the strength of our pitch or our bid is that our context is extremely specific, and it would offer a very, very unique experience to delegates coming from other countries. I mean, what I was saying to you earlier. I mean, one of the requirements is how one of the pitch requirements is how do you plan on incorporating indigenous cultures,
mm-hmm.
and actually for us it's not a question of how, it just is. I mean, our day-to-day reality is just embedded.
Yeah.
When you move between the campuses of the university, our specific university is very unique in South Africa in that it's literally in the heart of the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's not outside of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so it interfaces all of the inherent indigenous cultures, be that the Zulu or the large Indian population we have,
yeah.
And we interface with it on a day-to-day level just by literally moving around the city. It's not separate. It doesn't sit somewhere else. It is there.
But how ICR should be different from the other academic avenues that you used to host in Durban?
Well, I think a lot of the other big sort of organizational conferences that are held in Durban they come with their own content and they're purely looking for a space or a place like a convention center,
yeah.
And it's probably a very affordable rate. Whereas I think the idea for ICR 2018 is to go the opposite route We're not going to use traditional convention spaces. We're going to use alternative spaces throughout the city. So the very layout of us here 2018 will automatically mean that you're moving between spaces, and we're going to activate those public spaces in a way so that ASEA intersects with them.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you sit in a convention center all day and then you get bussed out to some other area that might be seem exotic. The idea is to interact directly into the city and into those nodes of sort of that have interest.
You've been using this word several times, intersection. Mm-hmm. Do you put something specific behind it? Or?
Yeah, I think that the reality is that in the context is that it's a kind of a binary. The intersection is kind of like the confluence between opposites. And I think that's very much what makes Durban very distinct from a first world environment, is mm-hmm. that it is that very collision, fusion between those different worlds all the time. And I think that's what would make ASEA 2018 a very unique experience for most delegates, because it would allow them an opportunity to experience that, but at the same time find different ways and avenues of exploring their own artistic practice as a result. So I think it's not so much about a one-sided experience. It's a neutral one. It's mm-hmm. about what ASEA can bring mm-hmm. in terms of a legacy Durban.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what ASEA or people who come because of ASEA can get and take with them,
yes,
as a lasting legacy in their own headspace.
Do you see anything that could make it not happening, or that could stop all it from?
Yeah, I think that.
What are the issues?
I think one of the issues is probably a preconception of what ASEA might perceive South Africa to be.
Yes.
That I could see is the only stumbling block in terms of they might have a very preconceived idea of what it is or what it isn't,
mm-hmm.
which is very likely not the case, in fact.
But we hope that, I mean, do you want to host it?
Absolutely.
You'll be
I mean, I think we would be very, very happy to do it. And because I think the idea of, I mean, the idea of being a creative person is about cross-pollination, and it's about putting yourself in uncomfortable spaces, and that's how you learn and grow as a creative person.
Yes.
And if you just remain in the same environment, your work becomes very generic, and I think both ways it's a win-win situation.
Any idea about the emerging trends of art and technology in your country or in Africa?
Yeah, I think what makes it distinct is that a lot of the ways in which technology is used is almost on a survivalist sort of sense. Mm-hmm. It becomes more about how people use it in order to make it through the day, rather than using it purely as some sort of fantasy hobby. See that, like on the street, you see it a lot.
Yeah. In the previous podcast with Marcus, he was talking about this opposition between low tech and high tech. Are you referring to that too?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's exactly bang on. It's the fusion between those two very things.
Okay. So anything else you want to say?
No, I think that's it. Unless you have any more questions.
Okay. So thank you very much.
Cool.
I hope that we're going to meet again in Durban.
I hope so too.
Okay.
Very much so.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.